What's up, champs? Hopeful champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Trips Fantasy Hockey Podcast presented by Keeping Carlson, where we take a quick bite, take a look at what's going on in the NHL in between those Sunday mega shows. I'm your host for today, Elon Dubrovsky, and with me, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, how's it going? Sorry to hear you got eliminated from your couple division.
I did get eliminated from my couple division, and that hurt a lot, but I am in the finals this week in my home league after taking out my husband last week, so that makes it extra exciting.
Does that mean that he's rooting for you now, or is he hoping you lose?
Absolutely hoping I lose. He is not having any of it, and he doesn't want any of my hot tips, so save them all for the show.
That's funny. Well, I would think, is there money on the line here?
Yes.
It's okay. This is like money coming into the household. My wife and I do a survivor pool with our friends. And definitely, like, if my player gets eliminated, I'm always rooting for hers. I'll just take money anyway I can get it.
Yeah, I think it's the bragging rights. And having your wife beat you for like the fifth year in a row is probably a problem.
Well, that already happened. Regardless, he's already lost to you. So yeah. Might as well get on board. But okay, maybe next year you guys can become co-managers. You can give them a taste of a chance of winning. But
we'll see.
We've got a fun show prepped for today here. A few little news and notes since the show I did with Brian on Sunday. I guess we can dive right in with some sad news out of Ottawa. Want to give us that big injury update here?
Yeah, big injury news out of Ottawa with Brady Tkachuk injured in Sunday's game. He was hit in the second period. He did manage to play an additional 5 minutes after that, which I like to think is positive news for Brady Tkachuk owners, but he is missing tonight's game against Buffalo, and he's questionable for Thursday against Tampa. So definitely something to watch there. We're seeing some shifts in the power play there. We're seeing Ridly Greig getting a shot up on that top power play with Stützle, Cousins, Batherson, and Sanderson, which could be exciting. He's only 8% rostered in Yahoo, but again, with this being a day-to-day injury, hard to say if you should use your ad on a fantasy playoff week to try this out. But he has been looking hot. 4 points in the last 5 games played, which is exciting, and his shooting's up a little bit. I don't know that I would be jumping on this one until I hear more about Tkachuk's injury news, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, look, Ridly Greig, he's been like decent-ish this season, even from the bottom six. And now, yeah, if he's going to be on the top power play, that's interesting. It depends, obviously, how long you have left. Ottawa plays today and then Thursday and then Saturday, Sunday. So if you can fit like for the Thursday and the Sunday, I don't know. But yeah, Brady Tkachuk might be back. Tough break for, obviously, for people who have Brady Tkachuk. My opponent in the couple quarterfinals had Brady Tkachuk. I wish that that injury happened a little bit sooner and maybe I'd be more excited here. But by the way, Elizabeth, I did win my fifth place consolation matchup after losing the quarterfinals. You're talking to a bona fide cupful fifth placer. Not too shabby, right?
Well, both of us then. We can give all the advice to the fifth place people.
Yeah, hey, 14 team league, fifth place.
It's pretty good. I mean, making playoffs, that is the goal I think everybody should aim for, just, you know, as a sidetrack here on our conversation. If you make it to playoffs, you should be happy. You should be excited. That is kind of what your whole year leads up to. And a 1 week showing can be hard sometimes, especially if you get hit with an injury like this Brady Tkachuk one.
Yeah. Well, at least now it's the finals for people. And yeah, so keep in mind this updated power play. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, the lines can also shift around. I'll tell you the even strength lines. Stützle, Giroux, and Fabian Zetterlund still up there. And then that, yeah, Perron, Cousins, Batherson line hasn't changed ever since Cousins has come into the picture. Actually, the Sens are playing right now. I can give an update even. It's 2-0 for the Sabres. Oh, so maybe don't depend too much on these Ottawa lines. As once again, James Reimer is in net for Buffalo and once again doing well so far. And I do mean to jinx him because this annoys me. I thought we had a sure thing UPL. He's the starter until maybe Devin Levi comes up one day. But no, Reimer's top 12 so far. We're about midway through the second period. Goals from Alex Tuck and Rasmus Dahlin. So I know Dahlin got nothing in like an 8-goal Buffalo game a couple games ago. So I'm sure the Dahlin managers are happy to see that. But okay, so that's the Ottawa injury update here. Over in Nashville, here's my question. We have a Nashville injury to report, but also Nashville never scores goals. So does it really matter if you have an injured player on Nashville? Does it actually change anything?
Maybe not in a points league, but we might have some listeners who are in the finals of their Cats leagues. This is a tough one, though. I mean, to clear the air here, we're talking about Jonathan Marchessault being day-to-day. He's got a lower body injury. He's been super cold lately. You probably weren't banking on him for this end-of-season run here. I think it was one assist in the last 10 games played. I don't know. Hopefully he's getting a nice reset. You got Colton Sissons out week to week over in Nashville. Again, like you said, though, if we aren't seeing a lot of scoring, does it matter? Tough to say. I know Ryan mentioned Luke Evangelista in Matchup Maximizer. I know a lot of us went out and grabbed him and he did a cardio session yesterday, which hurts for your finals. But they have three more games this week, including tonight, so maybe things will change. But the back-to-back today, you can watch the lines and see what's happening. But like you're saying, those Nashville points are few and far between. They seem to hoard them.
Yeah, looks like for today, the Preds are rolling Forsberg, O'Reilly, Stamkos as the top line. So that's as stacked as you can get on Nashville now. Ryan O'Reilly, I know Brian added him for his Kakupful Finals matchup, and he also did nothing yesterday. Not a cardio, took a shot. So that's something. The lone goal scorer in the 2-1 loss to Philly. By the way, I should say, Nashville couldn't score a goal against Ivan Fedotov and the Philadelphia Flyers. That's how bad things look for that team. The one goal, though, Zachary Leroux, I've got him in my Dynasty League. Brian and I are playing in the Keeping Carlson Dynasty League for the 9th overall pick in the draft. If we lose, we get 10th overall pick. These are high stakes right now.
High stakes. And you're picking the right players, it seems. The one guy getting goals.
Leroux. And he had 2 hits, which is the main reason we have this person. So that's the injury update in Nashville. Honestly, it's like, I don't even know whether to recommend. Like, I wouldn't. Like, I think if, unless like Stamkos, but whatever. This injury doesn't change anything, the Marchessault injury. Like, should we look and see who was on the top power play?
It doesn't change anything. Honestly, I grabbed Evangelista for the Monday, Tuesday. He wasn't going to be, still isn't going to be on my roster come Wednesday morning. So hopefully a lot of people were like that and just picked him up with a Sunday ad there that they had extra and it's not hurting them, but it's going to be rough in Nashville.
Yeah. Brady Shea got an assist. I know Ryan brought him up as someone to maybe take a shot on this week. So that worked out, I guess. All right. So what do we have next here on our docket? Some Vancouver injury news. So Elias Pettersson maybe will be back. But the fact that like the coach says like should be back like this season probably means not this week. Reminder, the Canucks go Wednesday and then Saturday, Sunday. So maybe a Pettersson manager was hoping to get him back for the weekend. Doesn't look too likely. Also, by the way, Filip Hedl out for the rest of the season. This guy's had some rough injury trouble in his career. Hopefully a full new season on Vancouver next year will do him some wonders. But in the meantime, I guess this Pettersson injury news, I'm going to say this is probably good news for Pew Suter to just keep up what he's been doing because he's going to continue to center that top line with Besser and DeBrusk and continue to be on the top power play. Is he even available in any leagues at this point? 8 points in 4 games for Pew Suter. What an ad. What a playoff MVP for anyone who got him a week or so ago.
Yes, I'm lucky enough to have grabbed him, and I did take a look today. He is still rostered pretty lowly, but again, remember that most people are probably not looking. People in the bottom half of your leagues aren't looking. So I would say for people who are actively playing still, he's probably not available. You either have him or your opponent has him in the finals, or you're hoping it's in the other bracket there. I mean, MVP, you said it. He's been great. I've loved having him on my team. It was quite the surprise. I'm happy to have him. I'm worried about this Vancouver team now, though. They've been looking so strong, like just from a general hockey perspective in the last little bit, that some of these injuries and some of this news is going to put them back a little bit. But I think we'll still see some shining stars.
Yeah, like, look, they lost 3-1 to Winnipeg a couple days ago, but everyone loses to Winnipeg, so I wouldn't put too much stock in that. And then, yeah, for the rest of this week, it's Seattle on Wednesday, and then Anaheim and Vegas Saturday, Sunday. So at least that Seattle and that Anaheim game, those should be decent showings for the Canucks. So, yeah, maybe if a Pew Suter, you know, there might be some people who are really big-braining it and, like, you know, dropped Pew Suter to get a Monday-Tuesday game from some team and then hoping to get him back Wednesday. Like maybe there are some people who are going to be able to snap a Suter at this point, or like I guess anyone on this top power play at this point. It's been, you know, Besser, Suter, DeBrusk, Quinn Hughes, and then lately Jonathan Lekaramäki has been up there. He hasn't done anything, I guess, so you could take a shot on him for the Wednesday if you have enough moves, but maybe that's not someone I would prioritize.
Good end of week schedule, guys, that's what we're saying.
Yeah. Though actually, maybe this is a good point time for us to bring up some other rookies. There's a lot of people having NHL debuts today. And our friend Ryan Downey gave us a breakdown in our secret short shifts chat here of all the players that he's excited about to see how they do. Let's see if we could mine any value here. I'm going to throw some names at you. And then, I don't know, you could read what Ryan wrote. And we can discuss how much we've heard of these people. But starting in Washington...
Oh, no.
Or okay, well, I could just go. Yeah,
we can try it, but I do not play Dynasty. I am probably the only host who doesn't play a Dynasty league.
No, that's fair. Hey, I mean, you're we have you here for your 1 year league expertise, and yeah, I'm somewhat new to Dynasty. Actually, I've been playing for like 4 or 5 years now, so I definitely know these names, but obviously hard also to predict how they'll do in like their young NHL lives. But yeah, Ryan Leonard, I know he's a super highly hyped, high pedigree guy drafted in the first round a couple years ago by the Washington Capitals. He's playing today for Washington. I'm bringing this up in real time here. The lines have been Ryan Leonard playing with Alexei Protas and Dylan Strome, so not a bad spot to be slotted in. So far today, Washington is up 2-1. Another goal by Ovechkin as he inches closer and closer to the record. Nothing so far for Ryan Leonard. 3 hits, though. That's not too bad. Like a period and a half into your career. At least he's throwing the body, which is, I know, something he's going to be expected to do. Ryan wrote in the chat here, his style is give me the puck and I'll go score. Not sure how much that works in the NHL, but if he has the courage to try and cut to the net, he has the skills to score. Maybe a young Tom Wilson without the fighting as much if he hits his ceiling. I know that sky's the limit a little bit. I don't know, Ryan, maybe we'll disagree. I know some people love Ryan Leonard, though. So he might be a fun person to try for as long as he's in this top six in Washington for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And I love the Tom Wilson reference there because I think everybody understands what that means. Like, you're going to get those hits. You're going to get those peripherals. And sometimes that's what makes or breaks your week. So I like that.
Yeah, and Washington has a great schedule, actually. So this game's already started today, but then they go Wednesday, Friday, Sunday to end the week. It would be a bit of a risky move to take a rookie like this who's just signed with the team and come up, because maybe he'll get benched or, you know, who knows what they're going to do. But he's a big part of their future, so I think it would be a fun swing to take, especially like you said, in a categories league, you know, when you were talking about Marchessault or whatever. So yeah, if you're getting 3 hits already to start, I'm sure he'll luck into a point or two. And I shouldn't even say luck, that's not nice, but I'm sure he should be able to get a point or two if he sticks on that line with Dylan Strome. So okay, next up on the Rangers, looks like tomorrow Gabe Perreault is going to be playing on the second line. We had some Rangers lines come out. According to a tweet from Molly Walker today, I'm seeing so Panarin, Trocheck, and Brendan Othman, who's another like prospect on the team, and then JT Miller centering Lafreniere and Gabe Perreault. So we'll see. Again, there's a guy coming in right to good deployment. Looks like Perreault's also going to be on the second power play. But hey, if JT Miller's on that second power play and Lafreniere, that's actually might be the top power play, or maybe they'll at least get similar minutes, right? So I think that Gabe Perreault is another person I would be interested to try out. The Rangers are going to be playing Wednesday against Minnesota and then Saturday against New Jersey. So that's a team where a lot of players were dropped. So you might be able to find like a Mika Zibanejad or something in free agency. So I don't know if I'm jumping on Gabe Perreault, but I'll be interested to see how he does.
It's hard to jump on, right? With that Saturday, it's a busier Saturday. You probably have a full roster and you're benching someone. I don't know that I could bench a good floor guy for somebody like this. I'm a little risk averse, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. And then over on St. Louis, we've got Jimmy Snuggerud, another person I know that people are super high on. He's going to be playing today on the third line with Zach Bolduc, who Brian and I talked about on the Mega Show. And he's been on a hot streak. I guess third line, it's hard to do too much, but St. Louis just keeps on producing. So that'll be fun to see the Blues play today against the Red Wings, and then Thursday, Pittsburgh, and then Saturday against Colorado. So we'll see how Snuggerud does. We also know that St. Louis generally goes with a couple power plays that are even. I'm checking here. Yeah, so Snuggerud's on one of them. So we've got Neighbors, Thomas, Bolduc, Buchnevich, Fowler on one, and then Shen, Kairu, Snuggerud, Holloway, and Falk on the other. Yeah, it's fun. This is a fun time of year. We'll see. These people are going to get a chance to produce. They're not just bringing them in as a fourth liner.
It's fun. It's exciting. again, your fantasy season, it's so hard to risk on some of these. But if you're in a spot where you are looking really good for the week, I would absolutely have fun with one of these players. Probably really annoy your opponent if you're that confident to start picking up a bunch of these fun players, but at least one of them can't hurt, right?
Yeah, or maybe some of these people who are in like 10 team keeper leagues or 10 like player keeper leagues, you know, maybe at the end of the season, just grab some, maybe someone will take off and then they'll end up being someone you'll consider keeping depending on who your other options are. I've got some more notes here from Ryan. So for Gabe Perreault, feet are a little heavy, so expect him on the perimeter. Shouldn't be playing a bottom six role. And I guess he's not to start. We'll see how that works out. And then Snuggerud, smart move by St. Louis to start him lower in the lineup, but I could see him in the top six at some point this year or next. Definitely a scorer. Okay, so there you go. Do you know what it means? You I think you watch more hockey, know more hockey than me, Elizabeth. When you're saying feet are a little heavy, so expect him on the perimeter, is that just a way to say he's slow?
It is a very nice way to say that he is not going to be contesting for the fastest skater with McDavid anytime soon. Okay. So he is going to be a little bit slower. He's probably bulkier. I haven't seen him in person, but that usually tends to also go the same way. They tend to be a little bit bulkier players who are maybe monitoring those boards, hitting people into them a little bit more than some of your smaller guys. Just awesome. A guess, though.
Yeah, well, we'll maybe see some fun highlights tonight from the St. Louis Blues and Jimmy Snuggerud. Okay, so let's take a break. And we'll come back and we've got some more things to bring up. I got some hot and cold streaks here. This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up! New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Okay, Elizabeth, so we're on the second half of the show, but we still do have some outjury news, but it's not the best kind of outjury news. We've got soon to be outjured players, but probably too late to help anybody, but still interesting going into the NHL real playoffs, which obviously we care about as well. So you want to give us a quick roundup of some players that may be back sooner than later?
Yeah, just some quick updates here. Let's start with Alex Pietrangelo. He's had a few ins and outs this year. He's out with a lower body injury right now. He did practice Monday, but he did not return today. Might come back later in the week. We'll have to watch and see. So that one might be able to help you out later in the week. Neil Pionk was training in the weight room and practiced in a non-contact jersey, which is probably very exciting for his team because he's been out week to week and they could definitely use the good news and use him for the playoffs. Then we've got McDavid, who practiced with the team. He was actually spotted practicing with Evander Kane and Trent Frederick, which is very exciting for my Oiler fanatics and myself. Hopefully we'll see some of them in the next little bit. And then we've got Matthew Tkachuk, who skated before the Florida Panthers practice today, but still no timeline on his return. So hopefully we'll be seeing these guys soon. But I just don't think they're going to be soon enough to help you with your fantasy playoffs if you're ending this week.
Yeah, Draisaitl's back in for the Oilers today. He had a huge game the last time out. It sounds like the Oilers will be in full strength, like come the playoffs, including Trent Frederick. How do you feel about the Oilers this year versus last year? I was kind of like gawking a little bit at some of these players that have left the team, like Ryan McLeod on this great hot streak in Buffalo, and then those guys on St. Louis, especially Dylan Holloway doing so well. Would you rather have like Holloway and McLeod, or would you rather have Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson going into the playoffs this time?
Oh, you know what? I miss Holloway and McLeod. McLeod was a great special teams guy. Okay. Like he deserves all the kudos he's getting right now. He was really good while he was here. I just, it's hard to shine in Edmonton with the stars that we have, right? Like, you're not going to get that same fanfare. Same thing with Holloway. He is doing great. He was doing really good, I think, in Edmonton. And I think that St. Louis saw that and they were like, hey, we're going to pick him up. And we didn't really have much say in that because we've got that top line that is a little pricey, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. By the way, another quick update. This Nashville-Columbus game is going nuts right now. It's 5-3 for Columbus. We're about halfway through. But some of these players we talked about, Luke Evangelista, 2 assists for the people who added him based on that advice. And even Ryan O'Reilly picked up a point. So I'm sure Brian's happy to see that. And yeah, Columbus is getting 2 goals by Adam Fantilli. Could have used that in my couple quarterfinals, but I guess I should stop talking. I should probably get over this already. Maybe I will move on at some point. But okay, we do have some other hot and cold streaks to finish off the show here. I see that you brought up Brock Faber. You want to talk about, like, is this the least surprising cold streak?
This is the least surprising cold streak, and is really here so that I can say he's had 0 points in 12 games, even with a good off-day schedule. This is not necessarily someone you want to be holding. That Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, there are plenty of other teams who play those days. He's playing on the second power play. We get asked this a lot, like, just because a guy's on the second power play, I don't always want to roster them. That's just not always good enough. He's still 67% rostered in Yahoo. So this is really why I had to bring it up and just say, like, really look at your team if you are still in the playoffs and ask yourself, is this person producing and is it well enough to still be on my team? Because if you've got 4 ads, this might be a decent drop to get somebody in who has a better chance at points. Just my 2 cents.
No, for sure. I rode Brock Faber way too long and he just continued to do absolutely nothing. I'm looking at Frozen Tools right now at the last game lines for Minnesota against New Jersey. I think that they rolled a 5-forward power play for a lot of the game. So no Spurgeon or Faber. It was Johansson, Zuccarello, Nyquist, Gaudreau, and Matt Boldy. So obviously a depleted team, but yeah, even less of a reason to hold Faber.
These 5-forward power plays are really going to start to hurt our defensemen next year. So definitely something to watch for as we go into next year to see if it's just a flash right now that everybody's trying it out. But it's definitely something I know I've looked at a few times now. I've been like, ooh.
Yeah, that's not like something like the Oilers would ever do with and like leave Evan Bouchard off, right? Like, I think our stud D should be fine.
Yeah, your studs are good, but it's these kind of peripheral guys. Like, if you're running somebody on that second power play, they might get bumped so that they can have the 5 forwards. Just these weird little things that people are trying at the end of the year that could definitely flow into next year if they work.
Yeah, at this point, I'm really starting to feel like you got to draft some defensemen early next year. There's like fewer like for sure studs and then a lot of potential like risky guys, like you're saying, that could potentially not even get power play time. Okay, so I guess the next hot streak we have on the docket, I wanted to bring up Kuzmenko again. I know I talked about him on the Mega Show, but after that, LA played again, and they played against the San Jose Sharks, and they feasted on the San Jose Sharks to the tune of 8-1 victory for the Kings. And yeah, Andre Kuzmenko, a big game, 1 goal, 2 assists. So he let 4 shots. He had 7 shots the game before. This is a guy who generally hasn't been shooting much. Like, even his big season with Vancouver, when he scored those 38 goals, it was with a crazy high shooting percentage because he only took 142 shots and somehow 38 of them went in. So that's why it seems so unsustainable. If this is a guy that's now capable in LA of putting up 4 or 7, and you know, before that, it's a lot of ones and zeros and twos. So I don't know, but it seems like things are really shifting. Kuzmenko had a rough start on the Kings, but is really breaking out now. So I think it's very interesting. I think it's a guy you definitely grab for this week if you could fit in his Thursday, Saturday. I guess we're getting to the point now where maybe you're only fitting in the Thursday and you have to decide if it's worth it for a single game against the Utah Hockey Club. Though the way Vejmelka has been just like put out there to just get slammed at night in, night out with no rest, maybe it is good to get an LA person against Utah. And like Kuzmenko, top line, top power play, I just feel like he's very interesting. And I'm curious if maybe this will be the team where he breaks the streak of just being good to start and then disappearing. He's a UFA after this season. Kuzmenko's a guy I've got my eye on. And yeah, nice to see him continue to produce. I was thinking if this season was going to continue the way it was going for most of it, he would probably just leave and go back to the KHL. But maybe now he's going to enjoy his time in LA. Nice weather. Nice deployment with Kopitar. Seems to be going well.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with the the deployment there. You can't argue with the production right now. This is what we mean when we're saying you can pick up somebody who is on a hot streak and they could help you with your week. You, like you said, though, if you're only getting the Thursday, it might be harder. But if you're debating between Kuzmenko and a goalie who could get you negative points, maybe you take the shot on Kuzmenko. It's, you're not looking for future weeks. We're not building up the team if this is your last week. If you still play next week, I mean, definitely look and see if you can fit him in for more games next week, because that could be fun. But with a lot of leagues ending this week, I think you're probably, like you said, getting that Thursday. You might be lucky and have an opening on the Saturday, and then you get him twice.
Yeah, potentially. Okay, so what do we have next here? You had a player you wanted to bring up.
Next up, we are talking about Mason Marchment, because this is another one that I think should be higher rostered. He's 30% rostered in Yahoo, but he's had 5 points in his last 3 games played. Dallas still has 3 games this week. I mean, one is tonight, so you're probably not grabbing him for tonight, but they do play Saturday, Sunday, a nice little back-to-back there against Pittsburgh and Minnesota. He's playing with Matt Duchene, Mikael Granlund, who are also doing well. This line is clicking, and I would be happy to have anybody on this line right now. Duchene and Granlund, 4 points in those last 3 games, with Marchment 5 in those last 3 games. Really exciting. I did pick up Marchment last week, and I did threaten to drop him, but then he just kept producing. So he is still on the team, and he is going for victory in my home league.
Yeah, I mean, with Mason Marchment, he goes really hot, and then sometimes he goes cold. But yeah, right now he's definitely running hot. And like I said, Granlund, okay, I'm vowing to not bring this. Okay, I'm just going to move forward. Forget. Good.
I said the bad word, everybody.
He's doing fine as well. You know what's kind of like weird? Like, if I look at the Western Conference, I think it looks like Dallas might play Colorado in the first round, because in that Central Division, Winnipeg is currently in first. Looks like Dallas isn't too far behind. Maybe they can catch them. But it seems like if things stick the way they are, then Winnipeg's going to get that first slot and play against a wild card team. And then Dallas will play Colorado. I feel like that could be the conference finals. No disrespect to your Oilers, of course. But, you know, Winnipeg always just blows into the playoffs. Hellebuck runs out of gas. Vegas, we'll see. I don't know. I'm actually kind of bummed. Like, I think that's going to be an amazing series. If Dallas plays Colorado, that's incredible.
That's a great series. I would recommend everybody watch that if it happens. I have been on record before saying this Dallas team scares me. So having to go up against them is intimidating in the playoffs. And I think everybody should be watching for them. They are quietly very good.
Yeah.
And
but I mean, Colorado, no slouch either. They've been doing well. Brock Nelson fitting in nicely there as their second line center. Well, anyways, we got a little bit to go before playoff hockey. But yeah, it's wild. Dallas really did. They both did well. But Dallas like really stocked up this team for this playoff run. Like if they don't win this year, it's like definitely no fault of the GM, right? Like you can't do much better.
Yeah, they came out swinging at trade deadline there.
I mean, they got Granlund. That was just like a warm-up to then get Mikko Rantanen. And what if like Heiskanen comes back? What is the latest on Heiskanen? Actually, let me check game day tweets really quickly.
I did not see an update.
Yeah, that would be huge if he can be back for the playoffs. Heiskanen started skating. That was March 29th. So yeah, first you skate.
He could be back. I mean, skating's a good sign, everybody.
Yeah. What kind of injury does he have? I don't even know. But I guess it was the type where he wasn't skating, so it's not like a wrist injury. Anyway,
I think it was the lower body.
Okay. All right. So let me bring up the next streak we wanted to. Oh, yeah. I wanted to bring up. Okay. I don't know how relevant this is, but I don't know if anyone's noticed, but Dan Vladar on Calgary has been like quietly good lately. Like everyone talks about Dustin Wolf all the time, but Vladar played yesterday against Colorado, the aforementioned, and Calgary got the 3-2 win in no small part due to Dan Vladar stopping 28 of the 30 shots against for a huge win for the Flames that are still pushing for playoffs. That's Vladar's third win in a row. I don't know like what this means, except maybe just if there's another, like, you know, sometimes when you're in these championship weeks and you're looking for a goalie spot start at some point, I just want to point out that if, let's say, Vladar gets the game on Thursday against Anaheim or Saturday against Vegas, it's not like a definitely stay away. He has looked okay. But also, I mean, he's also looked really bad at other times in the season. So that's goalies for you. But maybe he's doing his best to earn some money because he's a UFA after this year. And I know that the goalie market is a little bit barren. So maybe Dan Vladar is making a case to maybe get himself a contract with a team that's going to need somebody. So we'll see. Yeah. Bringing it up.
The Calgary goalies are hot, unfortunately, for my rivalry over here. Yeah. But I have to say, like, it is a good call, because I know a lot of people are running maybe one, and even if you have two goalies, they might not be starting on the Saturday. And if you see Vladar is set to start, that's a pretty good add on a very busy day where you can't fit a forward or a defenseman. And like we say, there's always a little bit of risk with goalies, but the reward is really nice when it pays off. And if someone's on a hot streak, that's the guy you want. And if you don't grab him, your opponent might. So grab him while you can.
I'm curious to ask you, so someone like that cares about a rivalry like this,
yes.
So the Oilers and the Flames don't like each other, are you like rooting for Calgary to not make the playoffs? Because then the Oilers can't beat them. Would it be more fun to play your rival? Do you want your rival to do badly, or do you want your rival to do well enough so that you can beat your rival?
So we really enjoy a Battle of Alberta game here in Alberta. I've gone down to Calgary for them. I've gone to many here. And I have to say, it would be really exciting to play them in the playoffs, but I would be really mad if they beat us.
Right.
It would hurt more than some of the other losses that we've taken. But
so
that would
it's
be
not
hard.
Worth the risk.
I will say, from a fantasy perspective, though, I do like grabbing Calgary players, because then if they're doing bad, it's okay on an NHL kind of perspective, like regular Oilers fan perspective. But then if my fantasy team is winning, right? Like you take them because of that.
It's a hedge.
Opposite. Yeah.
Okay. I see that. I care like about some teams. Like, you know, I live in Toronto. I'm rooting for the Leafs because it's always fun. And then I grew up in Ottawa, so I'm rooting for the Sens. And lately I've also been rooting for the Habs, which I think is, people get mad at me. Like, I'm not supposed to be caring about all three of these teams. I'm supposed to hate one or two of them. But at the same time, like, when I'm playing fantasy, if I have like one of the opposing team's goalies playing one of these teams, like, I hate them.
Oh, and worst time. Yes. I was the week I got eliminated, I was at the Oilers game where Ryan Nugent-Hopkins got his hat trick and eliminated me. I blame him solely, not the rest of anybody else. And it was the worst. I was the most unhappy Oilers fan that day. And it was rough. But I do cheer for other teams, too. I cheer for Boston because I always wanted a team that wasn't directly competing. So, you know, I cheer for Boston. My husband and I got engaged in New York, so I have a soft spot for the Rangers. So, yeah.
Okay.
You got to have a couple teams. Otherwise, it could be a rough time. I mean, I'm being an Oilers fan, we went through a decade of darkness, right? So you got to have some backups.
That's smart, yeah. And now, you know, Boston stinks, but you have some backups now for them.
Got some other teams doing okay.
Okay, so I see we have one more cold streak planned here. You wanted to talk about Mike Matheson, who, I mean, people drafted this person expecting a top power play guy. And Lane Hutson just won Rookie of the Month. What an incredible season. And, yeah, that's it for Mike Matheson on the top power play forever, pretty much. But it looks like he's not even doing much of anything lately.
Not much. And another player who is still on the second power play, but this just really is hard to roster. Montreal still plays Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. They're playing Boston, Philly, Nashville. You want to recommend this. We've already talked about Nashville and Boston's season. So it's hard to recommend dropping him, but I think you need to. It's 0 points in the last 9 games played. It's just, this isn't going to work for you if you're fighting for your fantasy playoffs. He's not producing where you thought he was, and it's a hard call. Like you said, you drafted him probably early and you've probably held on to him all season, but if you're in a redraft league, it's time to let him go. I know these are harder calls sometimes in keeper leagues, but from a redraft perspective, I would say it's time to let Mike Matheson go and find somebody that you can fit in for 3 games who is producing at a slightly higher level for a ceiling or a floor.
Yeah, I mean, what you say makes sense. It's hard when it's like a defenseman. You might not be able to find someone who'll give you 3 games. Then you're dropping Matheson for someone who will only play twice, or maybe even once, because we've been talking about a lot of Thursday, Saturday guys where you may be full on those days. But sadly, this may be like a situation like what I was saying, my like experience with Brock Faber. Like, you may be holding someone who's just not going to do much. Every once in a while, Matheson has like a big shot game, a few blocks, but he also has had a few games with very little to show. And actually, Montreal's playing right now against Florida, a little rematch there. I don't know if there's been any fights. I'm going to have to check after and see what's been going on. Nico Mikola scored a goal. Oh, my gosh. Okay. But, yeah, no points for Matheson. And, of course, an assist for Lane Hutson, as per usual. Oh, and Caden Gooley. I called Caden Gooley. I said that he's back and people should take a look at him for periffs. But even an assist today on the Josh Anderson goal. Fun fact.
I like that call, actually. He looked really good for a lot of parts of the season. And I could see him going a little bit higher next year, too, as people look around.
Yeah, I think just like if you're filling out your fourth D, you know, like Gooley gets hits, he gets blocks, he shoots a little bit, and then once in a while you're going to get a point, especially if he's playing with Demidov next year, which, by the way, I have to admit, I got fooled. I got April fooled. So embarrassing. I saw, I was like browsing Twitter, you know, for retweeting to game day tweets. And I saw a tweet from like some Habs beat writer about how Demidov has signed a 2-year contract extension with SKA of the KHL. I was like, what? I thought for sure he's coming to Montreal next year. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I'm in one of my dynasty leagues. I have him and I was like, oh, this is terrible. And I was about to like send it to my co-manager. And I was like, wait a minute. I know what's happening here.
Yeah, you can't trust anything on April 1st, but you can trust our takes. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah. No, we should say one of the things we said was actually April Fool's. So people will have to go through it and see what it was and let us know. Anything that we get wrong, we'll just say it was actually
April Fool's. That was our April Fool's. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Really nice talking to you, Elizabeth. It's fun to be able to. I think it's our second time we've done a show together. Feels like we've been doing this for years already. Thanks to everyone. Like I said, thanks to the patrons for all of your support of keeping Carlson throughout the season. We couldn't do this without you. And if you want to come and hang out with us for the summer, check it out, keepingcarlson.com/patron. We're going to be starting up our playoff pool registration soon. And that's always a lot of fun. So we go straight from couple to playoff pool and then like nothing for a bit. Though on the Discord, we're still busy all summer, like ranking, like we do mock drafts, and then the mock drafts are actually really fun because then we come up with mock draft ADPs that we can use to like inform our real drafts. We're crazy.
The Discord is hopping. We get bored by about a month after the fantasy playoffs, and the Discord starts hopping. Everybody's in there chatting, so come join us.
Yeah. All right. Well, talk to you all later, and we'll have another short shift coming at you on Thursday with Derek and Shams. So stay tuned for that. And then, of course, one more matchup maximizer, and then Brian and I will be back with a mega show on Sunday. Until then, make sure to play smart and keep your shifts short.